All right, I'm feeling pretty good so far. Hold on, I haven't even said why yet. I was wrestling with this microphone for about the first 10 minutes of worship. I'm sorry, Otis, but I think we got it. If it comes off, we'll just keep going with it, okay? Just a few housekeeping things as we're getting going here. If you have one of these devices and you like to have digital access to the sermon, if you have the YouVersion free Bible app, or if you don't, you can download it pretty quick. But if you do, if you go to the YouVersion Bible app and click on the bottom right-hand corner, it says More, you'll see Events. You click on Events, and you'll see Hillcrest Church of Christ pop up. You're familiar with that place. You click on Hillcrest, and you should get an image that looks like that there. Those of you who are up close can kind of see it on my phone here. But it's got the text. It also has sermon cues, sermon notes, and for small group tonight, it also has, so if you don't have your bulletin and you need your small group questions, that is on here as well, and you can add notes and things like that. So if this is how you're wired, YouVersion free Bible app, click the bottom right-hand corner for more, click on Events, and click on Hillcrest Church of Christ. Oh, and I need to mention, you might need to click also Save once you get there, because it might disappear after this morning. I'm not sure. I'm still learning it too. So we'll figure that out together. Would you bow with me for just a moment? Gracious God, we are so thankful that you have invited us to your table. We know that Jesus is the one who's brought us here, and Jesus is the one who will continue to lead us. And we pray in his name. Amen. I need to say thank you to all of you for making us feel so welcome. Last Sunday was just so special for us. I'm imagining you could probably see it on our faces. We were beaming, we were glowing, but you just showered us with such great love. And I am so thankful for each and every one of you. And I mentioned this last week, but I'll say this again. Pam Sullivan, I don't know if Pam may be gone. I think she may be doing Let's Start Talking right now. She's here? Pam, you said this last week. Where are you, Pam? Oh, she's with the little ones. Well, Pam said this to, not last week, she said it at our trunk or treat. She introduced herself. She said, "You don't know us yet, but we already love you." And she said, "And remember, we loved you first." And well, y'all are laughing at that. Is she keeping score? I don't know. That was the sentiment that we got from the whole church and have been getting from you. And thank you for that. Thank you for our search team that made that journey. And thank you to the elders. And thank you to the staff that are here. I'm very thankful for our great staff that we have here and their prayers as well. We are tremendously blessed, and we are so thankful that we were invited to your table here at Hillcrest, and for that we're very, very thankful. Jesus has invited us to welcome all and everyone to his table. Jesus has invited us to join in that welcome. Many years ago, there was a minister who was new to a congregation, and he was getting to know the members that were there at the church. And one of the families decided, you know, we need to help him out. Let's invite him over to the house for dinner, and we'll get to know him a little bit better. We'll have some good fellowship together. And it seemed like a great idea, and whenever they invited him, he was very excited, he was very happy, and he was really looking forward to it. Plus, he was a younger guy, so this was another way to kind of connect to folks and people that he was going to be ministering to there, gain some keen ministry experience. There was just one catch. He had eaten maybe not the best item earlier that day for lunch. He had a shrimp po' boy sandwich. And throughout the rest of the day, he was having some concerns about how things were going to go. And things didn't feel right in his stomach, but he thought to himself, I do not want to, I've just been invited, this is really important. I do not want to disappoint this family. I don't want to come off as rude. I really need to go to this meal. I know that everything's going to be okay, so I'll go ahead and go to the meal. And things were going okay about a quarter of the way through the meal, and they were sitting at the table together, and there started to happen things inside of him that didn't sound human. And there was a lot of sweating that started to happen, and he had to excuse himself and go to the bathroom, and he spent the next 90 minutes rethinking his life. Some of us maybe have had awkward table moments. Some of you maybe are looking forward to the awkward table moments that are coming in just a few weeks whenever you gather for your Thanksgiving tradition or whatever that may be. You probably have some different stories of things that have happened, memories that you've been able to share together. When Christians gather together, like we're doing today, certainly as the words were mentioned by both Robert and then Andy as well during our communion exhortation there, we know that we are meeting and that Christ has indeed welcomed us to the table, that we are purposely here, we purposely remember, we purposely share the bread and the cup together. But the truth is, every time Christians meet together, and even the table becomes, there's something more than a meal that's going on when Christians meet together, isn't there? It becomes a God event. It becomes an opportunity. It's very important and significant what we do in these times where we assemble together and where we have great leaders leading us in worship. But it's so important whenever we come home and in our homes, in our houses, in our own table gatherings, that the Christ emphasis and that the worship emphasis doesn't end in the worship assemblies that we meet on Sundays and Wednesdays. But that at a Christian's house and at a Christian's table, there's much more than a meal is going on. The welcome of Christ is continuing in that moment. There's a question that I have as we look at that text in Luke chapter 7, and we'll go there in just a little bit, but I want to bring out a question here. How did she get to that table? And I want to ask another question on with that. How did you get to the table? Now, I would love to have each of you come up here and share, and I really do. I look forward to a long time, my family and I look forward to a long time here, and I'll be disappointed that after many years that I haven't heard your story, because it's significant. Because it's not just about you, it's about what God has done through His Holy Spirit, through men and women, to bring about His mission here in the world. I can testify and tell you that I shouldn't be here at the table with you. And maybe some of you have a similar story with me. We are first generation. My parents are here and they were welcome. Charlie stole my thunder. I was going to welcome them, but Charlie welcomed them earlier. I wouldn't be here. And really, we shouldn't be here. We're first-generation Christians. My parents did not come from Christian homes. I can tell you about what happened. I can tell you about the Houston family, who were the very first family, when my mother was a teenager, to share the gospel of Christ. She was dating their son. David was his name. David didn't realize that his whole purpose was not to have a romantic relationship with my mother. His whole purpose was that God would use him, and more significantly, his parents, his family, and their house, and their table, to help reveal Jesus Christ to my mother, who was 15 at the time. Those times that they had together in worship, those times that they had together of sharing what a Christian home is like, what prayer looks like inside of a house, between a husband and a wife, between parents and children. God used them to change our story. It took a little bit more time with my dad. My dad was in his 20s before he came to Christ. He was from some of the rougher crowds. He was in the biker gang crowd. He shouldn't be here. We shouldn't be here with this story, right? But then God used another biker by the name of Mike LeDuc. And he used another man you're probably familiar with, the old Jewel Miller film strips. Mike sat, yeah, you're laughing. Mike, can you imagine these bikers together? Get out the film strip. But they did. And there was something in that teaching the gospel story, that my father was able to hear the welcome of Jesus, even for someone like him, from the wrong crowds, from the wrong experiences, from the wrong house, to touch his heart, to realize that the table of Christ was also for him. I am so thankful to you two for making that choice, and then we together, didn't we? We learned how to be a Christian family together. My sister and I were born to them, and we learned together what is a Christian family like, because we didn't have another resource except for in the church. You see how this table works? They become an interconnected story. An improbable story, as it is, of how we came to be at the table. I love this text in Luke's gospel. In fact, when I read about this woman and think about her heart and her faith, I find this text to be one of the most beautiful and one of the most powerful stories that reveals to us that God cares about every single person so much, that His love is so big, and we can see it as she's there in that moment, and there she is gathered at the table. We have an unknown source there, right? Look at your text there in verse 37. A woman in the town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. She knows what a Pharisee is, right? We don't get the search committee's name for how she learned that Jesus was going to be at this house. And that is so often the truth, isn't it, church? Those significant players, God knows their names, but maybe their background parts, but they're huge in the kingdom, and through some people, she learns about Jesus, she's able to come in contact with Jesus, and then she's able to have this great moment where she literally is going to pour out her heart in her tears, in her kisses, in this sweet, precious anointing of Jesus' feet. And we're challenged as we look at this text, because there's two welcomes that are at play here. There's the one that's happened or that's happening that's coming from the most unlikely source. This sinful woman is a prostitute, by the way. That part's just kind of cloaked in the text. She shouldn't be able to touch Jesus. That's why Simon and others are murmuring to themselves. Simon's going, this isn't the guy we've been hearing about. A prophet would know that this woman's unclean. And Simon's even thinking to himself, I would speak up and say something, but Jesus should be the one saying something. He's bringing shame on my house right now. I'm supposed to be the host here, and he's making a very uncomfortable situation for all of us. All of this is his internal monologue, right? I can't believe he's letting this go on. This is disgusting. And Jesus completely turns it around, and he does it with a story, doesn't he? Andy teased that out very well. Teacher, right? Teach us. And Jesus tells it's one of his shorter little parables here. He says there's two men who owed a debt to a moneylender. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. Neither one could pay. They're in the same situation. I know the two very different numbers. That's important, by the way. Same situation. Neither can pay. Different amounts, but really the same problem. And so the moneylender does what we wish all of our moneylenders would do, right? Anybody have any outstanding debts and you're going, Jesus, can we apply this text? College students, I'm thinking of you right now, right? They can't pay. The moneylender just pardons it. And then Jesus asked that important question that's really the where Jesus is trying to open Simon's eyes. Who's going to love this man more? You love Simon's response, don't you? I suppose the one who had the greater debt. And then we have the statement in verse 44, and I get choked up reading this because Jesus does what everyone should have been doing in this moment, and that's seeing this woman for who she is, not for her sin. You look at verse 44 in the text, then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon. So Jesus is looking at the woman, but speaking to Simon, but he's about to elevate her status. Do you see this woman? Do you see her? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. When I came into your home, or you did not give me a kiss. This scene here is so beautiful. But this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. Do you see this affirmation that's going on here as Jesus is pointing her out and saying, this is not disgusting. This is not an unclean thing that's going on here. This is not even accidental. This is a God moment, and you're missing it, Simon. Because God is doing what only God can do here. He's transforming lives and transforming hearts and bringing the most unlikely cast of characters into God's welcome table. This is so important here. God's table is much bigger. You can look at this text and see, and it's much wilder. And it's much more inclusive than anything that you and I could have ever imagined. Isn't that true? You look at this text. Who would I select to be a part of this great story of Christ? Who would I select to be exemplary in telling about our Savior and the one who's sinless and the one who's supposed to redeem us from our sins? Would I choose someone who has such a past like this woman? Would I choose someone whose reputation is known in the community? Would I choose someone who's dirty and less than? But God's is much bigger. And it is. It's a wild scene. And by the way, God is not following, is He? He's not following our dinner script. I don't know. Do some of you have an actual agenda for Thanksgiving? You know, you know, this is what time we'll eat. This is what will be served. This is who's going to be there. This is where you'll sit. If you make it from the small table to the big table, you've arrived, right? God's not following our dinner script. He's not only calling those with pedigree to His table. In fact, He's intentionally calling those who have big debts spiritually. Because it's been found here that when you rescue those who have many sins, the transformation creates an overflow of love that is really unmatched, isn't it? The one who has been forgiven much loves much. And I think that there's a sorrow in Jesus' heart as he can also see the negative, but also truth to that statement is, in Simon's case, Simon doesn't recognize his own sinful state, that he also too is a debtor. Maybe he doesn't have the same range of debt and spiritual, the mistakes and past that the woman has, but he's in the same boat as all of us are. He's just not able to see it, but if he could see it, he too would be kissing the Master's feet. And there would be tears coming from his eyes. I was too young when I started preaching, but I did it anyways. I was 21. When I started preaching, God bless the little church in Palacios, Texas, where I started. They loved on us real well, and they supported us. But I had to do a lot of learning along the way, and I had helped lead a man to Christ that had a past, that had several mistakes. He was checkered, right? And he and his family were trying to pull things together. They were trying to make it. And he obeyed the gospel. He gave his life to Christ. And then he did what the Spirit moves a Christian to do. When someone's baptized and the Spirit comes to be in them, it naturally wants others to be here at table with Jesus. And so he comes to me and says, "Nathan, I need you to meet this woman here in our town." I said, "Okay, I'll go with you." We went out to a public place. It was at a picnic table in the park downtown. And I walked up to her and we sat down together. And he began to tell me a little bit. He said, "This is our preacher, Nathan. You need to talk to him." And the woman tried to begin to tell me her story, but she had so many tears running down her face because her heart was so overwhelmed with the many burdens from her past. I know inside she was thinking to herself, "I could never be worthy to be at table." In this case, even with the preacher, right? Let alone the one that he points us to, Christ. I remember the tears of one whose sins were many. I know you've had similar encounters. I know that you may be feeling stressed with some of the things that are going on in America, and maybe things that are happening politically right now, and you're wondering, "I don't know if the table really has enough for the America that we're dealing with right now." I want to bring this to your attention. Christ's table has been prepared for these times. In fact, it's exactly what we are needing right now. You can see it in the text with this woman. You can see these things that we see happening here. Well, on the one hand, we have Simon and kind of the angling that he's coming from versus the table that Jesus presents here. Go ahead and bring us that next slide there, Scott. Here we are. The table was prepared by Christ for these days. Look, here's Jesus' table. There's no room at the table for fear and hatred. Jesus isn't calling or inviting that. There's no room at the table, even though we have the murmuring that's going on by Simon and his other guests that are there. There's no room at the table for despising and despair. No, what Jesus reveals in this table scene is that the table is a place for confession and forgiveness. I wonder how many of our homes reflect such a place. And then what is the table if it's not a place for hope? I know it is scary. I know when we see what's going on and the sins that are in the world, they are scary. I'm raising children too, right? I pray over them just like you do. God, protect them. God, watch over them. But I also take confidence in the message of Christ that reminds us, your faith has saved you. Go in peace, those words that he affirms for this woman. Who's missing from our table? This is a great day for this sermon. Here we are, look at this. I'm meaning right here in our community. This is a good thing, church. Because this says that Hillcrest is a church that is wanting to bring and reach out to others. That this table is not just for those who are here right now. But you know what? You don't just need a search team for a preacher. The table of Christ needs a search team. What I mean by that is we need people who are looking in the community and going, whose voice isn't being represented amongst us? Who's being forgotten? Who is like this woman who's in the midst of our community and yet she's being overlooked? We're not seeing her. And we need Jesus to grab our attention and say, do you see this person, right? This woman, this man, this child who God has placed amongst us here. In Abilene, Texas, or around the globe, how exciting it is to have a church that has a goal for that as well. It's Jesus' table, but it's our responsibility to help get them there. It's Jesus' welcome, and he welcomes them all, doesn't he? But you're the hands and feet that he's sending to let him know about this great welcome. I don't know what plans you may have. I want to encourage you this. When you meet at table, especially this Thanksgiving, can I encourage you, if you haven't done so, I hope your family knows the story of how you came to be a Christian family. Because that's God's story about His table, about Christ's welcome. Or maybe you need to do something that you haven't done before. I know some of you are already doing this, so close your ears if you're already doing this, or encourage your neighbor and say, hey, this is really a good thing. What about inviting those college students who aren't going to be able to go home this year? Letting them have a place at your table. Or those international students. Or what about reinvesting at the ones who are at your table every day, but maybe we just, the busyness of life. And time flies by. And we need to recommit ourselves to the ones that God has put at our table in our homes. Maybe you have that need today to make that commitment. If you're not a Christian today, we want you to know that Jesus is inviting you to His table. We still believe that God is able to transform lives. We still believe that God is able to forgive sins, even many sins. We still believe that God is able to heal broken hearts. Maybe you're the one this morning that has a burden that you need to bear to Jesus right now. We invite you right now. There'll be elders standing by here on the front or in the back as well. You can come right now as together we stand and sing.